Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink. And I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's Friday. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man, we got the NBA back, Mike Bell. We got baseball back, although I know many of you are still upset and maybe cussing at Luke Jackson. And you know what else? It just feels like things are moving in the right direction. And you know, with that said, yesterday's news with college football, let's hope we're able to play games and get this conference schedule in. I know some people like I and Mike are disappointed that, you know, no Georgia Tech, Georgia. But at the end of the day, if we're able to play a full schedule, Mike, I'll be happy. And if we're able to crown a champion, I'll be even happier because that means, you know, this coronavirus has not had the effect that a lot of people say it's going to have. So I feel pretty good today after last night, man, watching the NBA's return.
Yeah, I know that baseball's got more issues now, unfortunately, with another team they're going to have to put on pause, and we'll talk more about that coming up. But yeah, I mean, everything else you just talked about, for sure. I mean, to see LeBron and the Lakers last night, and it was a fantastic finish. Yeah, there was some rust and there was some ugliness early, but man, Anthony Davis was just rolling. And you know, everyone says, you know, if the unibrow could like, sort of elevate his game, then wouldn't you just love that? I mean, that talk about the NBA coming to the rescue, LeBron in the finals again.
So, you know, with baseball, and we'll start with the Braves because, you know, they split the series with the Rays, a strong outing by Freed. Dansby remains hot. But you texted me last night, and I literally put my phone down, and by the time I picked it back up, the game was over. But you were at Luke Jackson because it looked like he was going to do Luke Jackson things, didn't it?
Well, again, you got to pitch to three batters, and again, it wasn't a bad pitch that he threw. They just went down and got it and knocked it. I just have no faith in the guy. I was talking to John Rocker last night. He's living down in Destin, and he's like, man, if you think I get hot, Rocker is ready to throw something through the wall over Luke Jackson. But he did come back in the next inning. Get the outs, but the bullpen, you know, did a great job. And then you come back and you split on the season with a really good team. I think anybody who didn't know about the Rays now knows how good the Rays are. And that was just a really good win last night. That was a grinder.
So tonight, Sean Newcomb, I still have mixed emotions about, you know, what he's going to ultimately be. But he's got a chance to be back in this rotation and, you know, show us what you've got and be a guy that we can maybe count on. But, Mike, if he can, you know, be that guy and the third guy in this rotation, listen, I'd love to tell you Cole Hamels in September. Mike asked this question the other day, and I'd love to tell you he's going to be available and ready. I think that's what they're hoping for is right, to get a few starts in September, and then hopefully he's ready for the playoffs. But even then, I'm not sure what to expect. You know, we thought Dallas Keuchel would be better than what he was when we picked him up for the playoffs, and he wasn't. So I'm not going to put all my eggs in that basket. What I'm saying is Sean Newcomb, Mike, should and has a chance to solidify himself as a number three starter, which would make me feel a lot better about this rotation with Freed, Soroka, and maybe Newcomb.
Right. And, you know, we say it all the time. We talked about it with Smoltzy. I mean, he can look really electric. I mean, you see what this guy's got that gets me going, oh, what, this guy, but just got to cut down on the nonsense. You know, when you got a guy, you know, a batter on his heels, finish him. You know what I mean? And that's something that he struggles with. And then, you know, his pitch count is through the roof and it's not even the fifth inning. So, look, let's hope that he does. You know, I've always said, I've had a lot of guys come at me going, what is your fixation with Sean Newcomb? No, I said, when Newcomb is dealing, it's electric. And then when he does stupid stuff, yeah, he's right up there with Luke Jackson as far as my list of aggravations with this Braves team.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. It's Friday. That means hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. What do you have cooking? What are you working on the grill today? And even if not today, we'd love to see your pictures over the weekend. As so many guys and ladies send their pictures at Put Them Up, See Dukes. That's me, Mike Bell, ATL. Of course, Mike Conti, 929, and Squidbilly, 929, as we are all participating. And thanks again to Buckhead Butcher Shop. So we'll have another big day, man, and we'll show you what we've got working coming up. Mike, I'm having this conversation in regards to the NBA return, and we'll tell you the latest with baseball, as Mike mentioned, with another team dealing with coronavirus. But a guy asked me, he says, how do you feel about the NBA coming back? And this was last night, literally as it's happening, and the whole kneeling with the national anthem. And I said, well, you know, you've had all these guys down in Orlando. First and foremost, if you don't kneel, it doesn't make you a bad person. I mean, this whole thing, either you're kneeling or you're not, that's not the case. But I said, you've had all these guys down there, and they are united, and the league has given them an opportunity to use the platform to say, hey, we are totally behind you. And if you watched any of it last night, the two games that were on, you saw that. You saw that they were unified. You saw the jerseys. You saw what was on the floor with Black Lives Matter. But, you know, he says to me, you know, my dad and I were talking about this, which means his dad's obviously older than he is and you know, a generation. And he says, and he's like, he's kind of, you know, he doesn't want to watch it. And I said to him, you know, it's interesting because I do think, Mike, that when we talk about this issue, all right, we know what it was and what it's moved from. But I do think there's something to be said about, you know, whether it was our parents who are no longer with us, you know, your parents and neither are mine, but that generation looking at this maybe differently and saying, you know what, I don't want to see that. And I understand that. I just hope, as I told him, you know, tell your dad, and I know you've had these conversations because the guy that was talking with me said, I don't have a problem with it, but my dad and I were talking about it and I wanted to get your opinion. So I'm bringing it to the radio because, again, you're going to continue to see this, guys. This is something that's going to happen. And whether you kneel or not, again, it doesn't make you a bad person. But I do like the fact that there are people in Orlando, in the NBA, we've seen it, you know, with the start of baseball, that are unified with their message and trying to get the message out there about social justice. And I commend the NBA. But if it does turn older folks off, Mike, I understand that. And their perspective and having a differing opinion is fine, but I just hope that they try to understand why guys are doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've talked about this going back to the Kaepernick issues, you know, 4 years ago. It's just you're not going to win that debate. You're not going to win it in social media. I hope that, you know, we've talked about it. You know, you'd like to think that it gets a conversation going, but there's people that, you know, they're not going to open their minds to it. I've talked about it with Carl. You know, we all come from different backgrounds. You know, I've got people that I'm friends with, you know, I'm still friendly with, you know, that I grew up with back in Long Island in New York. And those guys don't want to hear it. I'm not saying not all of them. There's guys that get it. And there's people that, you know, there's all, like everything else in life. There's people that come from different, you know, political leanings and the full spectrum. But, yeah, I mean, look, Steve Kuhn talked about it with us a few weeks ago. You're going to turn some people off. But I think the NBA looks at it. And I don't think the NBA sat there and they were like, from a marketing standpoint, they want to do what they think is right.
Right, yeah.
But I do think, though, look, yes, there's people out there that are not going to get it. They just, and again, look, do I like it? I don't like it, but I understand it. You know, but I mean, I get where it's coming from. I wish everybody we've said this a million times. I wish everybody had the same American experience as I did, but they don't. And because they don't, they feel differently about things they've had to deal with and see happen. That's why we see this.
Yeah. And you know, again, you can't force people to open their eyes and see what has happened in our country, even in the last few months, to say, you know, all the things that have transpired, whether you are aware of them or not, now you are. And, you know, to ignore that or to say, well, it doesn't matter, I think that's being a little bit ignorant as well. But with that said, the NBA's back, and this is something that I think you're going to continue to see. It does not bother me. We've had this conversation. And for me, last night, you know what it was about? It's about the games. It was about seeing who was going to show up. And I'm watching Mike, and I'm saying to myself, who's going to go to the gym and just want to dominate? Because that's what it reminded me of. Right. You know, you got the holograms and the fans on Zoom or whatever it is. And, you know, there's actually movement with those versus the cardboard cutouts at, like, the Truist Park.
Right.
But this is going to be a mental task, man, because there's no energy whatsoever. Guys hitting big shots is kind of like, oh, you hear a coach, good job. That's about it, you know. So whoever just wants to go to the gym like the old days when you played hoops or if you ever played pickup games and you went and you were able to win three or four in a row, and that's kind of what this is. You know, I want to go and just dominate the gym because guys are just out there kind of playing. And it looked like the NBA, but it didn't feel like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I mentioned watching the NHL the other night in those last preseason tune-ups, and it is what it is. You can now the NBA probably did a better job with the virtual fans. I know that I've heard John Chukri on those promos. Apparently, he hates seeing people's faces. You know, if they're not actual real people in real time. But
what does he like, by the way?
Good point. But and John, if you're listening, we love you. But. But yeah, I'm watching it on the court. I mean, you got there's Kawhi Leonard, there's LeBron. Like, he didn't have a great shooting night, but he played amazing defense down the stretch. I talked about Anthony Davis already. You know, I mean, and like, by the other thing is, and this is an argument I had with a friend of mine who lives here in Metro Atlanta, who's a little, as a tad conservative, and I said, look at it this way. You know, you can look at it from, yes, you know, you want to embrace the change. I just think, look, you know, after what we went through here in Atlanta, people doing, you know, going through things around the country, you want to either see, how can we all get on the same page? And if some people are coming from extreme angles, I get it. That alienates people. The thing that I've found, and this is something which you and I have talked about before, there is the phrase, Black Lives Matter. And we know that Black Lives Matter. We want to see, again, social, and I want to see what happened up in the Minneapolis ever happen again. And then there's the website. And there's a lot of people on the conservative side who look up the website and the mission statement of Black Lives Matter. And they feel that that's like, it's almost Marxist. It's not even American. So that's where the disconnect happens with some of the people that get angry by seeing Black Lives Matter on the court. And I try to explain, no, there's the phrase, okay? This doesn't mean there's the website or where people are spending money and where the money's going. But that's a hard argument. It's a very, you know, it's a very finesse argument. You know, it's semantics for some. But some people, as you said, just don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I don't know, Mike. If we were sitting around today having a beer, and we will, and we were having this conversation and just talking amongst ourselves as we normally do, you know, what can't you look up these days and get some skewed view about?
Right.
You know,
again, depends honestly. where you're coming from. But like Dave, I thought David Spade, you know, the ex Saturday Night Live alum, now stand up comedian, he tweeted last night. He goes, in the old days, they said, don't believe everything you read. Now it's don't believe anything
right.
you read. But
that's right.
But again, it's just people are coming from preconceptions, and it's going to be hard to crack that. But again, you touched on it. The NBA, I think, at the end of the day, will come out better for it. But yeah, they're going to get some flack for it. And then in the short term, from people who you might never get to understand where we're going in this country.
And, you know, back to the guy that was asking me about this, and he said his father was having an issue with it. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. NBA restart. We'll talk more about baseball and the Braves back in action tonight as well. But, you know, I don't know if that was the core NBA fan, if people were turned off before, you know what I mean? Right. And we were having that conversation too. Just like NASCAR. NASCAR's going to get some new fans. I don't know if the people that were turned off, you know, were they true fans or were they just buying into whatever NASCAR was representing for them? I don't know.
I mean, but that's, you know, you're talking about, you know, NASCAR went through these growing pains back in the late 90s, early 2000s when the sport exploded and Madison Avenue found out about NASCAR. And then they moved to tracks outside the Southeast. And that's when you kind of alienated your yeah. core group anyway.
Yep.
So, I mean, to me, NASCAR had to destroy the village to save it. You know, I think you had to turn over the fan base.
Great,
but the other thing is
point.
Also, and here's the other thing, and I'm not trying to be, you know, callous about it, whether it's, you know, social justice, political views, religious views, I really don't get my opinions from athletes.
Right.
I form my own opinions. I'm not trying to say Charles Barkley, I'm not a role model. I think it's great that athletes embrace what other generations wouldn't. But either way, I'm not really getting my takes from athletes. So if you look at it from that point, then why are you bothered by it?
All right, more on this, guys. We'd love to hear from you at 404-741-0929 as we talk about the restart of sports. Coming up, Braves back at it. But I got to tell you something. Last night, man, just a little bit concerned as things ended up going our way. And can Dansby continue to do what Dansby's doing? It is Dukes and Bell on a Friday. Hope you're having a good day. Braves back at it tonight. We got more NBA action. you know, guys are talking to us on social media, and you can find us. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. Guy asked the question as we were talking in regards to college football, and he says, Dukes and Bell, my only concern now for college athletes and sports isn't the possibility of death, but more and more info about prolonged lung and heart deterioration has me concerned now. You know, I don't work for the CDC or the World Health Organization. I will tell you that in my wife's research and things that they've come across, they're seeing more of this as well. But they don't do this exclusively. So, you know, it's one of those things where you see reports, Mike, doctors talk around the world. People are sharing information. I just don't know. And I said this from the jump. I don't know how much we don't know about this damn thing. You know what I mean? Right. Coronavirus. So we are learning, but I do agree with him that that is probably more of a concern now and why guys are deciding to opt out. Much more so than I think the idea at first where if you got this, you were going to die.
Right. And as you said, we try to, you and I try to read as much as we can, like everybody else out there about this. And, you know, it all depends on, in some cases, where you're coming from, you know, and what you're, you know, what, and I hate to say it, Carl, but it does get politicized like that. But I mean, first things first, we want to find some information you can believe, right? So I've heard everything from, we have friends in the healthcare business where, and we got a friend of ours that's a doctor in Athens, and that's a legitimate concern. That gets back to the SEC starting back when you see all the cases sort of spiking, you know, in parts of Athens-Clark County, if you believe what you read. And then I talked to other folks in New York, and they say, man, if you get hit by a piano, they're going to call that COVID-19. You know, when you check into the hospital. So it's very hard for some people to get their head around what to believe. I don't know. Did I get this back last year when I went to the Formula One race and I was sick as a dog for a month and couldn't breathe? I don't know. All I know is I've been doing a lot of stuff. I've traveled in about 4 states. I've stayed in hotels. I've gone out to eat. I've had root canal. I've played golf. And I know that some people, because of their health concerns and everything, we've talked about it. Some people do not feel comfortable leaving their house. Some people have engaged. Some people are still kind of putting their toe in the water. I don't know. All I know is that if you said it, if I was a 21-year-old kid and you're telling me that I would have compromised, you know, breathing or cardiovascular issues, and I'm trying to make my way to pro sports or just quality of life for the rest of my life, that's a concern. I don't worry about that. Same thing, Carl, for NFL players. You got a young family. If I had a wife that was pregnant, I would not want to risk bringing that back to my house. So I understand that side of it, too. You know, I don't believe in, like, black or white on this. This entire issue is a giant gray area.
It is. Appreciate the comments, guys. Keep them coming as we talk about all these things that are affecting sports and certainly our world. It is Dukes and Bell. Find us. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home 2020. Tell us what you're cooking. Send the pics, man, and put the hashtag on there. We'd love to hear from you guys. Hey, Craig's behind the glass. Our engineer is always keeping us on point. Bo Morgan, executive producer. We will get a chance today to talk to Steve Koonin in the 4 o'clock hour. Hawks CEO about the restart of the NBA. It's finally here. And also in less than 12 minutes from now, we'll talk to Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, about what the Braves are doing and what he thinks about this start so far. Right now, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Well, let's hear the final call. How the Braves beat the Rays last night at Truist Park.
Have beaten the Rays 2-1. What a marvelously pitched game. Perhaps a game-saving catch by Adam Duvall leading off the ninth inning. The Braves get 2 in the second to make a winner of Max Fried, Tommy, who started this game and set down the first 14 in a row.
Fried was great last night, guys. He's showing you he has what it takes. He's got the stuff, and there's no doubt, you know, he's going to put his stamp on this rotation, I think, for a long time to come. Dansby had a run-scoring single. That really, you know, kind of put them on top. And then, you know, you talk about the bullpen. Luke Jackson came in. I thought we got a great job by Green and Melanson to finish the game, Mike. The bullpen on the back end did their job. But as we said, there was just a little couple of dicey moments there with Luke Jackson that made some folks go, oh, no!
Hey, I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, you know, he gave up a run. He inherited a man on second. And I just don't know why Snicker keeps bringing him in with, and I hate the phrase, high leverage situation, pressure. So in the old days, we just called pressure, okay? You're inheriting a man in scoring position, right? But I just, you know, oh, he's coming in, you know, in a high leverage situation. Okay, whatever. But he did exactly what I thought he was going to do. It wasn't the worst pitch, as Tom Glavine talked about, but still, the ball was put in play and a run was given up. That's not what you're brought out there to do. I mean, are we ever going to see Shane Green again?
Yeah. He pitched.
I mean, is Melanson going to be the... This is something I was talking about with Rocker last night. And, you know, just... I guess Melanson is going to be the guy. I know they said potentially rotate it. Will Smith will eventually get okay to come back. But, yeah, look, you can't argue with the results. You won a low-scoring game against one of the best teams in the American League. I'm just saying, two things. I don't understand why Snicker keeps putting him out in those situations. And I don't understand why some Braves fans feel this guy is the best thing since sliced bread. That I will never understand.
Yeah. Well, he's got a role, Mike. Let's hear from Snick talking about Max Fried.
Just, you know, controlling situations. I say Max does everything. I mean, I say it's almost, you know, he could handle the bat. He can field his position. The pickoff move is a weapon.
Yeah.
You know, I just see the confidence and how he's slowing the game down. And it's like I say, it's fun to watch. And he's, you know, he's growing.
So tonight, Newcomb on the hill. We'll see what he's got. We'll talk more about the Braves. And meanwhile, Major League Baseball, Mike, more outbreaks. Cardinals-Brewers game postponed after two St. Louis players test positive.
And this is where you get into the daisy chain, Carl, where now it, you know, because you can't do your thing, other teams now are affected. So, you know, it's just hard to look at this and say it's going to get better. You know, unless two things. If you believe that baseball players are walking Petri dishes and these guys have no discipline, or if you just say it's a combination of, yeah, even if these guys do like what the Braves are doing, I'm not saying the Braves are like living like saints, but they get it. All the young players, when you hear the comments, they are saying about staying in the hotel room, limiting exposure. You know, but I mean, can you get the rest of the bigs to do that? Or is it still just, Carl, how COVID-19 is just popping up everywhere? And even if you are doing the right thing, you still might get exposed to it.
Phillies missed or postponed 7 games. Marlins 7 games. Yankees 4 games. Orioles 4 games. Blue Jays 3 games. This is what Mike's talking about. It's not just one team, and this becomes the issue, and how far do you continue to push things out and try to get things back on schedule? Meanwhile, Greg McGarrity, AD at Georgia, talking about delaying the start of the season. They pushed it back a few weeks, but we now know what the SEC is going to look like for the most part. Here's Greg McGarrity.
We certainly listened to our medical professionals and felt like a later start would really put us in a better position from a health standpoint. We'd be able to observe what's going on for those that may start on time. We'd be able to see what happens in the NFL and just have more data to compare before we started. So all those things lined up, and certainly there were a lot of robust discussion in the room, but we all landed and agreed that the 10-game schedule was where we needed to end up.
You like it? How do you feel today?
I don't like it.
Okay. I don't either.
And I understand. And by the way, if you listen to some of the college sports writers, this is all going nowhere anyway. It'll be dead on arrival. But you can go to Missouri, you can go to Lexington, Kentucky, but you can't have the guys from Atlanta come over.
Nope.
Don't get that. And I also don't get why ACC announces their thing, and then the SEC hadn't announced it, but they'd already made up their minds about this. I'm like, well, what, don't you guys talk to each other? This is where you really need, I don't know, some communication or a better, I thought it would be a better, because you get the ACC, their ACC is stunned that the SEC did it the way they did it. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah, you know, it is what it is at this point. We're going to have to deal with it, but I agree with you. That's how I felt. Hey, this news just in, Antonio Brown, who is a free agent, is being suspended for 8 games for violating the NFL personal conduct policy. Now, the reason why this is important is Mike and I have said this. NFL never came down on Antonio Brown. He had been working out and throwing the ball around with all these different guys. So wherever he begins or wherever he signs, he's going to miss 8 games, Mike.
So there you go. He's going to be a guy that will probably get a phone call at some point because – Now, it's not 8 weeks, it's 8 games. So, again, I think the logic was, well, if the season goes to, like, April, he'll be okay. But, no, it's still going to be 8 games whenever they are played. But, yeah, this was kind of like the kind of twisting in the wind about all the stuff that the NFL is kind of dragging their feet on. But, look, there's a bunch of teams that would still take a shot at Antonio Brown, especially if you have injuries. Lamar Jackson already said he'd take the dude. I mean, look, imagine what Brady would have done with him. You think it's a nail biter against the Titans if you got a guy that can stretch the field like Antonio Brown last year in the playoffs?
It's a great point. We'll see if he lands anywhere. Hey, coming up, we'll talk to our Braves insider, Joe Patrick. By the way, Mike Trout's been placed on paternity leave. So you won't be seeing him for some time to come. And we'll hear from LeBron James about last night's restart. It's all on the way on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Coming up, we'll talk about where Antonio Brown could land. There are teams that are still interested, even though he's been suspended now by the league. It'll be part of our NFL Blitz. It's on the way. Mike Bell, it's Friday. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. We're going to get to that as well coming up next hour. And more on the NBA restart. Right now, we say good afternoon to Joe Patrick, who was our Braves insider here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Braves win last night, but I want to start where Mike and I have been talking about, and that's this bullpen. And last night it worked out. You know, you get a W. Melanson was great. Shane Green pitched. But how do you feel about the way that Snit has used the bullpen thus far? Or do you still think this is he's feeling this thing out? He doesn't have a set plan.
Yeah, I think he's still feeling this thing out a little bit, Carl. You know, it's an interesting hand that Brian Snicker has to play in the bullpen right now because he's got his closer set, but that closer is not available right now. And Will Smith, who is, of course, coming back. By the way, he threw a side session just the other day, so he should be coming back somewhat soon here. They just need to get him built up a little bit. So that would be a nice relief for him and another option for Snicker to use. But you don't have him right now. And then you've got, because of what's going on with the starting rotation, you've got some of these longer relievers who you don't really know exactly when you might want to use them to keep them fresh for this upcoming game to fill in for Mike Fultonevich, in which case you probably need to use two of those guys in kind of a piggybacking situation. I know a lot of people have issues with Luke Jackson. He's obviously had his fair share of disappointing moments for the Braves, but honestly, I think that, you know, if you look into the deeper numbers, he's actually very effective, and I think that he's honestly suffered from some bad luck recently, and I think he gets kind of he's an easy guy to attract the ire of Braves fans. But I think the Braves bullpen so far has exceeded just about every expectation, especially when you look at a guy like A.J. Minter, who's coming back this year and looking a lot like the guy who we saw in 2018, if not better. And if he is better than he was in 2018, that is going to be a huge weapon for Brian Snicker to use.
I mean, like, all it was last year is, you know, him inheriting, you know, situations where he was going to blow games for guys like Frieda Soroka and then wind up getting to win, you know, after luckily the team bailed him out. That's my beef, Joe. But I hear you. Joe Patrick's with us talking about the Bravos. It's a good win, though, because obviously looking sluggish down in Tampa, and we bounce back. You know, Dansby cooled off at the end of the night, but Dansby's just been raking. And it wasn't like he was a slouch, but this is the Dansby I think people expected, you know, coming out of college.
Totally. And we talked about him last week. I think he's just kind of a very under the radar guy with all of the kind of star qualities that this Braves team has with Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman, even Ozzie Albies. We talk a lot about it's kind of like the biggest part of this lineup. And Dansby Swanson is just kind of there in the background, keeps on improving after getting off to kind of a struggle start to his career as kind of the guy with the big expectations on him. I think he's really kind of found a groove with this team, and we don't talk enough about his defense. Like, the guy never makes a mistake, it seems, playing shortstop for the Braves, and he is continuing to just improve at the plate. Obviously, he worked with Chipper Jones last year to kind of tweak some things in his batting stance, and he's obviously, we know he's suffered from the injuries, and again, that happened last year, so he's just one of those guys. I feel like if he can stay healthy in a shortened season, he can really give the Braves a ton of value from the bottom of that lineup.
It is our man, Joe Patrick. You know, his name is Dansby, and he's off to a great start. I know people want to look at this and go, well, you know, and we all throw excuses out there. But here's the deal. I'm enjoying this. I enjoyed what he did last year. He's healthy, and I'm enjoying what he's doing right now, coming up in big critical situations. But the key is, can he maintain this, right, Joe? I mean, can he continue to do this? Because this is that part of the lineup where we said if we get production and we're able to get guys home, then this offense is going to be very, very successful.
Yeah, and I think that something else that Dansby is he's kind of emblematic of how dynamic this team is and how many ways they can beat you. I just talked about, you know, we don't talk enough about his defense that he gives, just like the rest of this team is a very good defensive ball club, the Braves are. And then, yeah, Dansby, he runs the bases really well. He's aggressive, although he didn't really run the bases well last night when he struck out on a wild pitch where he could have advanced to first. But, you know, he is a guy who is just continuing to improve. I just feel like when he started his career, he kind of was under the microscope, and you know, maybe that wasn't the best thing for him, but I just really see him finding his groove right now. And it's not just him at the bottom of this order. It's guys like Austin Riley, too, who are providing, who can provide. Matt Adams has been a great pickup. He's really come through with some clutch hits so far this year. So these are the types of guys where when you can get production out of them, you know, it's only a matter of time before Ronald Acuna comes back around and starts being the guy, the Ronald Acuna that we know. So the more production you can get out of those guys who you weren't really necessarily expecting it out of, that's going to be such a massive boost in a shortened season.
It is our man Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, talking about the Bravos, who now 4-3, first in the East as the 3-4 Mets come to town. The thing about the pitching, as obviously, you know, we got a solid 1-2. Faulty, I don't know. He looked leaner, Joe, and I don't know if that was whatever his fitness regimen was during the COVID-19 thing, but do you think there is a future for Faulty here? I mean, if the velocity's got to come back, or there's no point.
I do think there is a future for him, but you're right. But how lean he was kind of disconcerting to an extent. I was looking at pictures just kind of comparing what he looked like in that start versus what he looked like in the original spring training 1.0 in March, and there's even a noticeable difference there. And you just hope that he gets back to normal. But Brian Snicker said that the weight loss was noticeable, and that is something that they said. They said, Brian Snicker and the Braves think that he can get the velocity back that he once had, or maybe get close to it. But in order to do that, he's going to have to put on weight again, and that's going to be a big thing for him. And I think that that's why it's going to be a slower road back for Mike, I think, because he's going to need to build up some of that strength that might throw off his throwing schedule, you know. So he might need to go back to the first step in repairing your body physically, and then you can get that arm ready, and then hopefully you've got the velocity back at that point. So I think that it was actually quite surprising that he cleared waivers yesterday, that no team wanted to take a pop at him, which I thought that somebody would make an offer, because everybody needs starting pitching right now. And honestly, that was one of the reasons why it was surprising to a lot of people that the Braves DFA'd him in the first place, because of how much of a premium there is on guys who can go multiple innings right now.
All right, I don't want to be a jerk.
I'll be a jerk. Go for it.
But it's a short season. He's 28. I mean, are you telling me, and I don't know if, you know, again, we're just talking about the circumstances, Joe, but Braves going to wait around for him? You know what I mean? To get through all of that, that could be this season. And then you're saying, okay, next year we're going to believe in him. Well, we believed in him this year.
Yeah, well, so, like, the Braves are going to believe in him in Gwinnett.
Okay.
That is the reason why they had to designate him, because they couldn't afford to carry him at his current performance level on the Major League roster. You know, Brian Snicker said he is a guy who has always been a stuff guy. He's not a guy who's going to pitch finely around the corners of the plate,
right,
and you kind of pitch in a cerebral way. He's going to blow you away with his stuff. And the stuff is just not there. If you're a stuff guy and you're topping out at 91 miles an hour, I don't care how much break you're getting on your breaking balls, you're going to get hit around eventually. And that was the case with him. And yeah, you're exactly right, Carl. It's because of that short season, they can't wait around for him to improve. And it's a similar situation with a lot of these young starting pitchers that they're bringing up, whether it's Kyle Wright or giving any of these guys, Bryce Wilson's, any of these guys who have kind of had a short stint in the major leagues before. They can't afford to bring these guys up and then not have them perform at the major league level because of how valuable these games are. So the Braves are in a real pinch here at the bottom of their rotation, and they're quite open about it too. They know that these bottom three in the rotation are going to kind of be what carries them to a playoff spot or not.
More guys tapping out in the NFL or opting out. We'll talk more about that in the NFL Blitz. Right now it's Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, talking about the Bravos again as they draw even on the season against the Rays last night in a great 2-1 dramatic finish. By the way, Austin Riley, 20 at bats so far. Camargo, 12. Austin Riley's batting, well, let me look at 100. So what's the story here? What's going to happen? I mean, I know that, as you just talked about earlier with Carl's question about Acuna, but when does Riley start ripping?
Well, yeah, so it's funny that Austin Riley's batting 100, because if you talk to anybody in the Braves organization, they love what they've seen out of him so far, just because if you boil down his plate appearances, he's doing what the Braves want to see out of him, which is taking more of those breaking balls and trying to pick his spots when he knows he's going to get a fastball and doing his damage there. He did hit a home run on one of them, but as you rightly mentioned, now he's only hitting 100 so far this season, but he is making those kinds of improvements that I think will show up on the stat sheet once we get a bigger sample size. We have to understand that we're still dealing with a very short sample size here. Ron Acuña has gotten off to an equally below average start by his standards as well. So I think the Braves really like what they're seeing out of Austin Riley, and he's giving them some great field. He's been amazing at third base. He's been making plays all over the field. He's played right field, left field. So he's shown some versatility, and he's going to be a guy who I have faith that he's going to pull through, and he's got power that doesn't really maybe only Ronald Acuña and Freddie Freeman have the kind of power potential that Austin Riley has. So I think he's going to be a big part of this team. We're going to see him play all over the field.
Joe, it's always good to have you on. What do you think about tonight and Sean Newcomb?
Newcomb, hopefully he doesn't drive Brian Snicker crazy again. Brian Snicker said after he pitched last time, he was not able to repeat what he said to Nuke when he went out to go meet with him on the mound. He's just one of those guys who will he'll look like he's on a roll, and then he'll randomly walk somebody on four pitches, and it drives everybody crazy. It's kind of like having a kid, and he's like a high achiever. You know he's got all this potential, and he shows it oftentimes, but then he like gets the tension for doing something stupid, and it just drives you up a wall. That's kind of how Newcomb is on a baseball field right now. But hopefully he can get it straightened out and have a good performance tonight.
I'm going to use that. High achiever.
Right. But that's just, look, Newcomb, again, whenever I argue with this, I always say Smoltzy likes him. I say that all the time to Carl. Hey, by the way, Dan's me in the two-hole if you're just tuning in tonight for the Braves. Ronald obviously leading off. But we'll see where that goes. Echevarria gets in there at second base. So an off night for Ozzy Albies, Carl.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, I like what I'm seeing. We are going to be competitive. I still think there's a lot of pressure on these starters to get it done. Hey, Joe, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you. All right. Good job there. Mike, I'm looking at this NFL news about Antonio Brown. You've got guys opting out. We got the Texans saying they're working hard on a deal for Gainesville's Deshaun Watson. We'll get to all of that coming up in an NFL Blitz.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.